This is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily. Supreme Court nominee Second Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Sonia Sotomayor has finished her testimony winning praise from all Democrats and most of the press, while many Republicans, centrists, and independents feel a bit nervous about her speeches and rulings. At issue was whether or not she felt that Hispanic women make better rulings than white men, and is she still of the opinion that appellate courts make policy? We have with us today, Rita Cosby, best-selling author and three-time Emmy-winning correspondent, formerly with both the Fox News Channel and MSNBC. Rita, welcome.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Good to have you. Now, pardon the pun, but the hottest testimony came from some of the New Haven, Connecticut firefighters who were denied their promotions after passing exams because it was felt that they needed to have more minority colleagues in the group. They challenged the city, and eventually their case was brought in front of the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, on which Judge Sonia Sotomayor had been seated. She ruled against them, but then recently the Supreme Court overturned that ruling, and the 19 white and one Hispanic firefighters won the day. The case was Frank Ricci v. DiStefano and was dubbed a successful rebuke of reverse discrimination. Rita, what was your take on today's activities?
You know what? You hit it right on the head, because I thought the firefighters' testimony was so riveting and so heartwarming, too, and gut-wrenching, too, Alan. You know, when you listen to the testimony, first Frank Ricci came up. Of course, he was the main guy in the case.
Yeah.
And he came up and said, look, Americans have a right to have their cases based on the Constitution, not on personal opinion. You know, hint, hint, Sonia Sotomayor is the way he was looking. And he said, you know, no one, you know, everybody should go on promotions, on capabilities. And he also, it's interesting, to this day, not one of the guys have actually gotten a promotion in the New Haven Firefighter Department after all this stuff. The other thing is, too, is then soon after that, Lieutenant Ben Vargas came up. And I thought his testimony, Alan, was particularly just powerful and passionate and heart-wrenching. I mean, he talked about, here he is, he's a Hispanic. He is the Hispanic who joined the white firefighters in their case, the single one who joined them in the case. And he testified and said, look, I'm very proud of her being a Hispanic, being the fact that she has come here to, you know, to this situation at this level. On the other hand, I think the focus needs to be on the Constitution. It needs to be on equal rights. And he said, I want to be judged on my merits, not judged on being a Hispanic. And the most, I thought, just powerful, too, when he talked about what it took for him to take the test that he passed along with Ricci. And he was talking about how he took 3 months to prepare for the test, studied in his basement, even at a hotel away from his kids. And then at the end of the day, to be denied, and as he basically said in a one-paragraph decision of the Court of Appeals, of which he was a major player on this decision, he said, you know, he was just so disappointed, heartbroken, and he felt he was denied equal justice. I thought he was extremely eloquent.
Very effective, you think?
Very effective. And I also thought really hit it home that these are human faces. And when you look at, especially here he is as a Hispanic going up there and saying, look, he's proud of a Hispanic, you know, being nominated and considered now for the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. And then on the other hand, also saying that he felt he was denied equal justice, couldn't believe it basically came down to a very quick one paragraph decision when he spent such a long time studying for this exam. And he also said, look, I don't want to be remembered as a Hispanic. I want to remembered basically as a good firefighter. Ethnic and racial makeup should not be a concern, especially when you're talking about firefighters who help citizens. You know, I want the citizens to call me because I'm the best firefighter, not because I'm a Hispanic who's on the force. And I thought he was just so powerful. And also Frank Ricci coming forward too and saying Americans, again, have a right for decisions to be based on the law, based on the Constitution. Personal opinion should be kept out of it. I thought both of those just put such a great human face.
It did seem as if most of the week was peppered with these observations because, well, testimony was mostly dominated by her 2001 comments at Berkeley that Latina women make better decisions than white men, and other comments in 2005 claiming that appellate court actually make policies. Now, both of these observations really ran afoul of expected standards of impartiality. I guess the question becomes, how can justices rule objectively if they're interpreting the law through a prism of color versus one of neutrality?
Well, it's interesting because she, of course, says that those comments were taken out of context. She kept using the phrase a rhetorical flourish, a bad choice.
Wait a second. I have to interpose, ever the bad boy reporter here. Wait a minute. The president actually echoed her on that. But I'm wondering how that argument really works.
She tried to distance herself from the president, too, which was interesting because he said, you know, it's her heart, it's so forth. And she came out and said, I disagree with the president on that. She was trying to be very careful in her words because
she still echoed the sentiment that her words were taken out of context. But I'm wondering, how can that be true, given that both the words preceding and following the quotations in question really only bolstered these assertions and did nothing to mitigate them?
Well, and also other people who are forward said, look, this wasn't just something she said one time. They said this is something she said seven times over 7 years. And the other one who was also powerful was Linda Chavez. She came up and she testified today, too. And she said, you know, I'm here not as a wise Latina woman. Bottom line, I don't think this woman should be confirmed because she is drunk deep from the well of identity politics. So, you know, but the other thing, at the end of the day, Alan, Lindsey Graham, who has, of course, been critical of her, he's been asking some pretty tough questions of Sonia Sotomayor during these hearings. At the very end, he said, listen, you know, what would you want to say to those people who are still bothered by that wise Latina comment? And she said, quote, you know, I regret I have offended some people. I believe my life demonstrates that that was not my intent to leave the impression that some have taken from my words. Still this sort of dance with the words. But at the end of the day, Senator Lindsey Graham said, Senator, Judge, I agree with you. Good luck. And I think, you know, that basically said, you know, I'm letting it go by.
Well, you know, apropos of that also, she has argued, really, that, you know, personal experiences naturally come into play and shouldn't be thought of as a bad thing. But, you know, Reid, I'll tell you, I don't think anybody has been saying otherwise. Critics were only contending that while such experiences can help judges better attain neutrality if they have a better sense of themselves, those things should not be used as an excuse to supplant neutrality. But none of her proponents publicly acknowledge that disparity. And while she's most assuredly going to be nominated, have her dissenters been able to score any broader points simply by having these kinds of topics more candidly discussed for a change?
Look, and I think the topic of race, and I think it has been a very positive issue in the fact that all these issues have come to the forefront. I do think that some of those folks who feel that way certainly feel that they got their issues displayed and that they were able to discuss it. And I think this is just going to be the tip of the iceberg. Let's see what happens if another judge, I mean, everybody knows in this particular case, she's replacing Souter. It doesn't change the makeup of the court. The question, I think, Alan's going to be for the next one, because if the next one, if there is going to be another one under President Obama and some other one does decide to step aside and step down, then that's going to be, I think, where you're going to see the big, big fight. And I do think it's opened the door to a lot of these conversations. It's been pretty surprising the way some of the critics have been criticizing some of the senators who've said, you know what, I don't like this comment, and then yet they've been deemed a racist. I think that's terrible. I think it is an important topic to talk about, and I think it's important to hear both sides of the aisle on it.
No, good input on that, because our judicial philosophy, as far as I recall, holds that we're a nation of laws, not men. Simply put, our laws matter more than the personalities disobeying them, and premising legal assessments on one's own empathy and race, that's got to violate the standards of neutrality, right?
And that's what the firefighters are saying. And in fact, I thought it was so eloquently said by the particular firefighter, the Hispanic one. I mean, for Lieutenant Vargas to get up there and said, yes, I'm proud I'm a Hispanic, but I'm judged here because I feel like I'm a good firefighter, essentially.
And wasn't he subjected
to get this test?
Wasn't he subjected to some harassment himself simply because he had the unmitigated gall, audacity, and lack of fortitude not to walk in lockstep concurrence with everybody on the left who thought she should be given a pass simply by virtue of her race?
Well, and I think there was some criticism of that. On the other hand, I think a lot of people who look at this case, particularly in the white firefighters case, with also Vargas attached to it, I think a lot of people looking at the case still are a little confused by the decision. She claimed today also, she said that she based it on precedent, that it didn't have to do with the ethnic issues, that it was based on precedent. But I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out what exactly happened, because at the end of the day, if your house is on fire, you want the most qualified firefighter to get to the door and to help you. And these were the guys who passed the test and to this day have not gotten a promotion.
No, that's a truer measure. And granted, there is some risk that when results come about like this, that, you know, when decisions are made or results come in, if they find that there was something flawed in the administration of the test, then perhaps the city can validly say, hey, we've got a concern about possibly being subjected to lawsuits. But I think the Supreme Court found that such circumstances were not tumid enough in their prevalence to justify said assumption so easily.
Yeah, and that's the Supreme Court basically, look, as we know, they ruled with the firefighters and said, so now the question is, what's going to happen to those firefighters? I also think the decision by the Supreme Court is going to trickle down to so many other cases across America, too, where others feel that there has been adverse discrimination. And I think for that reason, it's a very powerful, very important message. And I think the hearings of Sonia Sotomayor definitely brought that out. I thought the firefighters did a very powerful, very poignant, heartfelt job today. And I think it's going to trickle the dialogue throughout the rest of the country for months and years to come.
What about the perception holding that there was this skewed sense of entitlement for her that was really promoted by both the White House and her defendants, also the press, really? I mean, when you think about it, what was it, on May 27th, you had a comment by White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs. CBS's Chip Reed had asked him what he thought about former House Speaker Newt Gingrich's claim that if a racist white male nominee should withdraw, then so should a racist Latina woman. The press secretary said that people should be, quote, exceedingly careful with the way in which they've decided to describe different aspects of this impending confirmation, unquote. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. So criticizing racially biased verbiage now makes the observer a racist, at least when said verbiage originates from minorities on the left. It did seem to be incredibly skewed in one way. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it is crazy. It's sort of, where do you draw the line? I mean, on one hand, if you're allowed to talk about it, you're allowed to talk about it. And it shouldn't be racist to bring up these issues. I think these were bona fide issues that needed to be brought up in the hearings. I'm glad it was discussed as an American watching it. I thought it was critical that it was discussed. And I think that it is going to set the tone. But I think by bringing it up, you should not be branded a racist one way or the other. It is a viable conversation. It's a viable point to bring up. And I think it absolutely needed to be discussed, especially if someone's going to be sitting at the highest court of the land.
Do you think to some extent both she and her proponents came across as folks who were committing racism in the name of fighting it, or looked as if they were becoming the embodiment of the very thing they denounced? Because it's always struck me that whenever you falsely use the race card, you become the racist, because what you've done is you have used race to marginalize otherwise innocent folks, thus fulfilling the very definition of racism.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. It's sort of like, by bringing it up, are you creating the issue of race? Are you inserting race? Which is, look at it, it goes back to even some of the claims that happened during the campaign. You know, even when people were coming up against Barack Obama, people were saying, oh, you're racist because you're criticizing him for this. Whereas in many cases, they were criticizing him for issues that were warranted.
You cannot become the very thing you denounce and still be taken seriously.
Right. It is. It is a bit of a hypocrisy.
Can't do it.
For
Can't
sure.
do it. Listen, always a blast. Rita Cosby, thanks again for your time and your perspectives. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure, my friend.
All the best. Once again, that was Rita Cosby, 3-time Emmy-winning correspondent. I'm Alan Nathan of Radio America, sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily.